Blog Talk Radio.
Morning and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled Daniel, Profound God Consciousness and Self-Awareness Through Prayer. Daniel is a very fascinating human being. He is a very fascinating one because of his life with God. And Daniel's spiritual life was developed amidst very trying circumstances. In 605 BC, he is taken from his home at Jerusalem. He is part of the royal family. In 597, Ezekiel goes to Babylon, and he ministers there to the exiles. And in 586, finally, Jerusalem itself is razed by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is trained to serve the king himself with two others of his friends. While in this very difficult time, and we know that when Daniel was taken to Babylon, he was a teenager. And we also know that he was a very spiritually mature teenager. And so God is going to use him in this situation. When Joseph was a young man, about the same age, he is taken to Egypt to prepare the way for his people. Daniel is going to be used by God in order to show some wonderful realities about the presence of God within the life of an individual in difficult circumstances. And so he has chosen, we read in chapter 1 of Daniel, to be faithful to God above all things. He has chosen not to be resentful about what has happened in his life. He has chosen to remain faithful to God even though he is removed from his home and he is in a foreign land. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, we read, "In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus," the king who would ultimately bless the people of God to return to their land. God's people would be removed from their land or be in exile for 70 years. And Daniel would live to see this time come to pass. This was an extraordinary individual. And this man served King Nebuchadnezzar in a very powerful manner. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and none of those who we would say had wisdom in Babylon, no one was able to reveal to the king the nature and contents of his dream. In verse 25 of chapter 2, Arioch, took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. And Daniel, in verse 27, replies, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. I love that statement. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. I love that. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of the iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. I'm going to stop there because here Daniel is providing the king into spiritual insight as to what this figure meant or what he saw meant. And so we know that the head of gold was Babylon. The breast and arms of silver were Medo-Persia. The belly and thighs of brass were Greece. And the legs of iron were Rome. The feet and the toes of iron and clay represent the final stage of the fourth kingdom in the latter day. And so later, Daniel speaks of the little horn. The little horn will be the Antichrist. And the stone cut without hands is the Son of Man or the Son of God. who will make an end to human kingdoms. And they will be crushed and swept away like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. And they will be swept away by the wind without leaving a trace. And so Daniel provides this king with insight, cherished, powerful insight as to who he is and who God is. Daniel is blessed for what he has done for the king. In verse 48, we read, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court." Daniel is elevated. He is lifted up by God. This man had a life in exile that was powerful and rich because this man had a very deep relationship with God. Now, because he was different, he was from a different culture, he had different values, the leaders became envious of him. And so they sought to overthrow his leadership. In chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "It pleased Darius to appoint," this is a new king, "120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel." He is still in political power. "The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Now please notice that because of Daniel's excellent spirit and trustworthy nature, God continues to spiritually promote him. Spiritual promotion is for mature believers. And verse 4 continues, "At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were not able to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.' So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 3 days, except to you, O king, should be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed.' So King Darius put the decree in writing." So these men formulate a petty conspiracy with very deadly consequences for Daniel. And we read that they hasten together as a group. And they have all agreed. This is a lie, because this is a vast kingdom. And this lie was designed to hide the conspiracy against Daniel. It is interesting that Daniel was not included here. And it's also interesting to note that it was physically impossible to assemble all of the empire's leaders on such a short notice for a unanimous decision on any topic. So this conspiracy is designed to overthrow the spiritual life of one man. This one man was a very powerful man. And this was a very, very pivotal test in the spiritual life of Daniel. So they formulate a conspiracy. They appeal to the king's vanity or his pride. And this was a slam dunk law. And so the king issues an executive order, and this becomes law. This was designed to overthrow the life of one man. Notice verse 10. So when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. These men went as a group and found Daniel, oh my goodness, found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they hastily, this is my addition, so they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. They then said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So here is Daniel, placed in this very difficult situation. Is he going to obey God, or is he going to obey man? Is he going to pray to God, which has now been made illegal? Or is he going to follow the decree and not have fellowship and prayer with his God? What would Daniel do? And if he disobeys the king's law, he is in open defiance against the king. If he does not pray to God, then he no longer is in fellowship with God. He is no longer developing his spiritual life. He is no longer in touch with God. He can no longer know that necessary fellowship that he needed with God and that you and I need on a daily basis. Daniel prayed 3 times a day to God. And this was a deliberate attack on his spiritual life. You and I must be aware that there are those who carefully watch our habits and our behavior toward God. And you may say, well, we don't, or we do nothing that involves civil unrest. We do nothing that involves overthrowing the laws as such. We do what we're supposed to do because we're expected as citizens to obey the laws. Yet here is a deliberate attack on Daniel to outlaw his relationship of prayer to God. And just think about this. A law has been written to outlaw prayer. And they did not catch Daniel praying. Daniel wasn't hiding. Daniel was doing what he had always done. And please note that they searched for a way to find corruption in him, so that he could be blackmailed or to have something against him. But we read he was trustworthy. He was neither corrupt nor negligent. The word here for trustworthy is aman, from which we get our word amen. And it means, in Hebrew, it refers to a tent peg. So the word literally means stable or stability. Daniel was stable. And so they sought to attack that which made him stable, that which gave him his spiritual strength. They attacked his prayer life. Isn't this interesting? And please don't think that this is something far-fetched, because it is not. Don't think it's far-fetched to believe that at some time in the near future, prayer could be outlawed for you and me. And you and I know it would be a deliberate and venal attack on our spiritual freedom. Then what will you choose? We have this old song that goes, there to be a Daniel, there to stand alone, there to have a purpose firm, and there to make it known. It's not a silly song. It's a very powerful witness. This man knows what is going on. Now notice, in verse 10, we read, and Daniel learned that the decree had been published. He didn't go to the king. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel was trustworthy, that is, aman. He was caused to be firm in Yahweh by his word. Now, the word learned here in the text depicts complete perception on Daniel's part. The word of God had given Daniel the ability to possess complete understanding about his situation. This man who revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar his dream had heightened, mature, spiritual self-awareness. Daniel had profound God consciousness and self-consciousness through prayer. Daniel understood the necessity of prayer in his life. Now, if you notice, verse 13, then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah. Please note how Daniel's enemies, and note in your life how your enemies always like to talk about your past, never about the present. They had nothing good to say about Daniel's work or what Daniel was doing, the exceptional job that he was doing for the king. And so in order to discount Daniel, he is called, it is said of him, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah. Daniel is a high government official, and yet they bring up his past in order to denigrate who he is. Every statement made about Daniel is negative. Every statement is an attack on Daniel. And so when they could, because they could find nothing in the present, they went into his past. And what could they dig up? What could they say about Daniel? He is one of the exiles from Judah. After years and years in public work, this is how they view him. Now, behind this, once again, is envy. And this is very dangerous. So, what I want to note also is that Daniel had no animosity toward his enemies. And so, this is important to note because he had no mental attitude sin toward them. It is unfortunate that when believers are attacked, they want to retaliate, they want revenge, and so they have mental attitude sin toward an enemy, or toward a foe, or toward someone who has sinned, or a party who has sinned against him or her, he or she. Daniel never developed mental attitude sin. If he had, he would have no longer been free. He would have become a victim. He would have chosen to be a victim. They wanted to victimize him, but he refused to become their victim. He chose to remain in the will of God because he knew in his heart that the safest place for him and the safest place for you and I is always the will of God. Daniel chose to pray, to continue his prayer life, and let God handle his situation. You're not going to fight these people on their terms. And Daniel chose not to fight these people on their terms. He chose to let God handle it. He understood that the battle is the Lord's. You and I understand that the battle, spiritual warfare, belongs to God. This is spiritual warfare. This is very serious, very cunning spiritual warfare. Daniel had been around these people a long time. He knew their nature. He knew what they were like. He knew their pettiness. He knew their ability, and that for a long period of time, they probably wanted to bring a conspiracy against him. And he knew that they were highly opportunistic. Take your case to God. Remain faithful to God. Do not allow your prayer life to be attacked and taken away by those who have envy toward me. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.